Just got back to Vrindavan from a incredible yatra in Puri. It was just really wonderful and confirmed within my mind, you know, how the process of bhakti works. It's all association. It's all association. And that association called sangha, some kind of a connection with the object of your meditation and your object of your connection. There's some type of connection, attraction, appreciation, etc. Then there's a transference of the potency of that object. And when it's in relationship with devotion, it really, really enthuses one. And when you're in a situation like a yatra, where it's organized so that one can, with minimal effort, be absorbed in spiritual activities from morning to evening, basically, it has an incredible effect. A type of bhava, a type of devotion flows to your heart that is spontaneous. Spontaneous in the sense that it almost no longer requires effort. It just takes link or connection with it to get it flowing. I mean, myself, I just, you know, would wake up in the morning and the chanting would just come. It would just come. It was almost, rather than creating the name, I was just observing the name flowing through me. And I saw in relationship to the people there, it was just a similar effect. There's a something beyond yourself that you enter. It's like an ocean. Once you dive in, you're immersed in the water. So it's kind of like that. You create an ocean of an ocean of devotion. Rasamrita Sindhu. And then people enter it. So yatras are very, very purifying experiences. And then what it invokes in your heart is a gratitude. People were so thankful for the experience. And this year it was great. Every evening from 6 to 8:30 we had kirtans. And they were... the whole yatra is on... was recorded and recorded nicely. So I think I'll put that out. I think it was pretty fascinating. And, you know, the kirtans in the evening, we had Akinchana Krishna and Kishore from the Mayapuris and Ajamil and Gunagrai Marge tastefully playing the bongos at the appropriate time. An incredibly beautiful setting, conducive for that. And then the Jagannath Prasad every evening. And there was some kind of mercy in that Jagannath Prasad. I have to say, I was eating it like it was water. I only stopped eating it because I just, from my booty or understanding, I just realized that the quantity of prasad I just took was perfectly digested. People really relish. It's just a special thing, Jagannath prasad, a special type of cooking. And then for 2 days, well, actually, he came and he gave two classes, but he loved it so much he stayed practically for the whole yatra. Dr. Fakir Mohan, 86 years old, 70 years practicing Krishna consciousness and, you know, chanting 1 lakh rounds a day. And he gave, you know, he's really a Aryophile loves Orissa because he's born there, but you know he's PhD and D. Lit. We're on Vaishnavism in Orissa, and he gave a class. I mean, on Jagannath Prasad with so many quotes, and this was his conviction. He told the devotees, "You should eat up to your necks, and then eat more. Eat as much as you want." And you'll make more advancement. And I saw it. He came in every evening and took full Jagannath Prasad. And then even gave one class that sleeping in Jagannath Puri is as good as bhajan. Anyway, whether it was rasa or tattva, he certainly had a conviction that was conveyed. And it was just a wonderful yatra. Just so sweet, anyway, and we had two dramas. We had one drama on Sri Don Kaley Comedy, which is a drama written by Rupa Goswami for Raghunath Das Goswami to alleviate the feelings of separation he felt when reading Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. And it's about the meeting of Radha and Krishna and the gopis at Dangati, the famous tax pastime. And Nityananda, when you hear the poetry, and then, so it was a drama, it was really great. You know, it is a drama. And, you know, he put it together in a very intelligent way. First, the drama was the separation of Raghunath Das Goswami, his pain, was really acted well. And then Rupa Goswami comes and relieves him by writing the... that was a short thing. And then they began the drama, and Nityananda started to chant it. And then from there on in, they just called people in the audience, and they gave them different signs, volunteers, little signs over there, you know, they hang around their neck that say which character they are. And then they read a little from the script, and then he would explain the intricacies and chant the verses, and it was just a tastefully done thing. So I feel very, very satisfied. And just nice, you know, I don't manage too often, but actually the management was done by Gokul Jupak Publications and Madhavananda, and it's the basic thing. But just to oversee everything, and especially oversee that the Jagannath, because we had 125, 150 people, and I don't think the Prasad room, you know, probably fit about 100 people. So just to see that Prasadam is served in the appropriate way, and also so edifying to not charge. Because it's a principle. The principle is that the more you earn something, the more you pay for something, the less you feel kindness upon receiving it. So when people don't pay, we just get donations. When people don't pay anything, they just feel so much love and kindness, because it is. Otherwise, why are we giving it? And then the joy that we get from sharing that and feeding the prasadam, an incredible prasadam, coming in these big clay pots, huge pots, very, very hot. And the joy that we get, it's sharing that with the devotees who come. And that's the bhakti. Bhakti is an exchange of love. Things like Sheshika Prabhu said that Krishna consciousness means Anand. So management has to be done very carefully, because it has to inspire people, because when it's forced, it's not Anand. Anand or pleasure is voluntary. So leadership has to be very expert. Prabhupada said that management should follow preaching. So anyway, we tried to do our best to serve the devotees, and so much love flows, and everyone wants to live in a world of love. You know, everyone wants to live in the world of love. And what the Krishna consciousness movement is supposed to do is facilitate that type of society. It's a very, very difficult task. You have to manage on one side, but at the same time, you have to be inspirational to keep that flow of love going. And it's that flow of love that will attract other people to want to participate and be part of that society. So it's nice for me to get an opportunity to kind of almost have my own temple for 6 days. And it does turn into a temple. Somehow the hotel that we have was built for the program. It's a courtyard, and all the rooms face the courtyard in a very intimate way, and each room has a little porch. So it's almost like if you sit on the balcony of your room, it's almost like you're in a royal box. We have it on the lawn, and there's beautiful gardens. And anyway, it was just a wonderful festival. We came back yesterday. So now, you know, I was off for 2 weeks. That's the most I've ever been off in a while. It was just impossible to get connected there. But let's go now and try to read a verse, and we'll get back in the groove again. So text 43. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dushangam Sarvataiva Tyaga. One should give up all kinds of degrading association. Purport. After stating that the association of pure devotees is as good as being with the Supreme Lord, Narada informs us of the destructive effects of bad company. As we mentioned previously, Lord Chaitanya once defined a Vaishnava as one who gives up the association of worldly people and non-devotees. A satsanga tyag, a Vaishnava achar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically enumerated different types of a satsang. Strisang eka asadhu Krishna bhakta ar. A Vaishnava should avoid Sri Sangha, those who associate loosely with the opposite sex, and he should also shun the Krishna Abhaktas, those who are not devotees of Krishna. This especially refers to Mayavadis. Lord Kapila states the infatuation and bondage that accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from an attachment to a woman or the fellowship of men who are fond of women. 331. In Kali Yuga, we are constantly invited to partake in illicit sex through advertising and television. Unrestricted social mixing between men and women is a major distraction from the spiritual path. The statements about women should not be taken as a criticism of women as a class. Just as women is often the symbol of Maya for a man, so attachment to men is also the main entanglement for a woman. As Lord Kapila states, a woman therefore should consider her husband, her house, and her children to be the arrangement, the external energy of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer. Of course, it is not possible to completely restrict the sexes from associating with each other, so the positive approach is to put Krishna in the center of one's life. The man and a woman live in a Krishna-conscious marriage, transferring their attachment to Krishna, then their relationship may become a source of spiritual rejuvenation. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksu Lamutam Yena. That's my Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Amano Bhishtam. Sapitam Yena Bhutale. Sayam Rupa Kadamayam. Tadati Svapadantikam. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha. Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, just to give us the context, because it's been 2 weeks and not everybody is on every one, we were discussing the many practices of devotion. And again, the basis of Krishna consciousness is focusing the mind on Krishna. And Krishna appears in many, many ways. Krishna appears in many, many ways. Everything is Krishna in one sense, or Krishna's energies. And when you can visibly perceive that, there are manifestations where it becomes apparent, and one focuses one's consciousness on Krishna. Then a natural attachment for Krishna awakens in the heart. Because the potency of an object of which you have relationship with is to increase or put or increase that love in your heart for the object. So different saintly people, they present different ways in which this is done. So those ways were mentioned. And it even described that even a worldly person, a person has to be in the world, then he can constantly associate in his mind or audibly with the holy name, chanting the Hare Krishna mantras. So that was mentioned. But despite mentioning those practices, a very interesting point came up. To emphasize that it's not the strength of one's own endeavor, but primarily it's the mercy of a great soul, which doesn't indicate that there's no endeavor. But it indicates that the it indicates that the endeavor has to be done in a particular consciousness to avoid the sense of ahankara or doership or the sense of self-agency to the extent of control that covers our receptivity for the potency and mercy of the objects of devotion that we are contacting. It's just like a farmer in growing food. It's all grace, but the water will come, but he has to cultivate the land. But even if he cultivates the land, it is still grace. It is still grace. So cultivating the land means the culture of humility and dependence. Still, it's primarily that mercy. But the mercy will come. It's primarily mercy, but God is merciful. The mercy will come. So really, bhakti means to make oneself a receptacle of mercy. By recognizing that it is mercy. And this mercy comes from the mercy of God or a great soul. And they are inseparable because the mercy of God comes from a great soul. And the mercy of a great soul is the mercy of God. He's transparent. He is a receptacle to that mercy. He is a receptacle for that mercy. That's the principle of Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva is a potency of God, which is carried in the heart of a particular person who has himself attracted that mercy by one's humility and endeavor. So they're really one. They're really one. And then he concluded, strive only for this. You should strive only for this. And also the other point is making that even that the mercy of the great souls, it's rare. It's sometimes not easy to understand, and it's infallible. Anyway, you strive for this. Strive for this. It's interesting. It says strive only for this. Strive only for this. The endeavor is there, but the endeavor is what? The endeavor is for mercy. And what's the endeavor for mercy? The endeavor for mercy is to get down on your hands and knees and beg for it. And that's the process of chanting the holy name. To get down on your knees and beg for it. Now, in today's verse, it describes one second, I'm a little lost here. Trying to find where I am. So one point in attracting this mercy is describe the power of this bhakti is the power of association. It's probably the most powerful influence. There are different. I have another commentary on Narada Bhakti Sutras. I want to read something that I think you'll find really interesting. That indicates here the point. Let me just see. Yeah. Narada extolled the glories of Satsang, which inclines the mind. What is association? You know, that's why it's so difficult to be in the association of great souls, because they are always chanting and hearing about Krishna's glories. And if they are always chanting and hearing about Krishna's glories, then that's what you have to do in their association. And if your samskaras are not inclined for that, then it becomes austere for one. And it inclines one to hear about Krishna and say his names, to behave properly and to have discretion and to serve and to be simple and to be forgiving and to have humility and to have compassion and to be truthful and to be humble. And when you're not in satsang, and you see it, then you become attached. I quoted Voltaire many times. That which we appreciate gradually belongs to us. So when you're associating, and Hari Bhakti Shubha Gaya, it mentions that association is like a crystal ball. A crystal ball reflects anything in its proximity. So that's the nature of our heart. We reflect what is in proximity. It reflects in us. A crystal ball, if there's a car and then there's a crystal ball, then the car will reflect into the crystal ball. And if there's a saint, the saint will reflect into the crystal ball. And if there's a egotist, the egotist will reflect into the crystal ball. And then, and these qualities of saintliness and demoniac nature, sura, they're in all of us to a different degree. So it has to give the negative in pursuing the practice of bhakti. Otherwise, it'll be like water being poured on a fire. Bhakti is a fire of devotion in the association of saintly people. And then if you create intimacy, and association doesn't just mean the people. It means objects that invoke and attract one to certain lower thoughts. And that, therefore, it's described sometimes in these sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it begins with Maharaj Prickett. He's hearing the Bhagavatam, and in the fifth canto, he hears about the hellish planets. And then when he hears about the hellish planets, he becomes overwhelmed with compassion for those people who have to suffer in those ways. Of course, the compassion is not is for the suffering, but the real suffering begins internally. It begins internally. Suffering is more a matter of consciousness than everything else. And then there are certain reactions to that consciousness to deter that consciousness. So, bad company, then naturally you become attached to the sense objects that those people are attached to, the talks regarding those objects, and the slander of people who have bad hearts, and the fondness for worldly enjoyments, and bad habits, and indiscipline, and desire for prestige, hypocrisy, intolerance, anger, egotism, restlessness. Sangha is the key. Sangha is the key to spiritual life. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we see what happens with bad Sangha. Kaikeyi, what was it, the wife of Dasarath, bad association with Mantra's company. And she caused such grief to her husband that he died, and she suffered widowhood. And as an object of displeasure to her son, which was dear as life to herself. And Shakuni in the Mahabharata became the cause of the terrible Holocaust. It's described as like, you know, a one tree burning can burn all the trees in the forest, and in a family, one person can ruin the whole thing. It is Sangha. We have to be so careful to get good Sangha and avoid bad Sangha. It means where we put our emphasis and focus. This is such a key to spiritual life. And it's not merely companies of persons. Any object can produce bad thoughts and longing for sense objects and lead our mind away from God. And therefore, we should never see or touch an object. Dr. Fakir Mohan, I was giving class. This was beautiful place. We went to Alalanath, and Alalanath is it's Sadbhuj. Or no, it's a four-handed form, Narayan. And when Lord Jagannath became ill, and there was no darshan of Lord Jagannath before the Rathyatra festival, then Lord Chaitanya would go to Alwarnath. And the deity of the Alwars, the lord of the Alwars. And it was always a puzzle why the forearm formed, but then it was revealed it was a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a deity of Krishna. The Krishna in Vrindavan that was hiding with the gopis and therefore projecting four-handed form. The gopis are looking, where is Krishna? And he hid from them. He was in a four-handed form. But when Radha came, the force of her love was so powerful that Krishna was forced to, reveal his two-handed form. And that's what Radha needs. Radha means that in her presence is the full manifestation of Krishna. And therefore, if you want to appreciate Krishna fully, you have to appreciate Krishna in relationship to Radha. So Vaishnava Siddhartha Fakir, anyway, this is kind of, so he went to this Alwanath, and Lord Chaitanya saw that deity as the two-handed form of Radharani, two-handed form of Krishna, that the gopis had saw the four-handed form. But he saw it as Krishna in Vrindavan hiding from the gopis, and he went into an incredible mood of separation. And then his body melted into the stone, and that stone is there. And then from there, it's beautiful. We took Harinam through the village, and we went to this coconut grove, huge coconut trees. In the middle of the coconut grove, there's this stone that performed, that's an asan. And the organizers are so together there, but by the time we come, we have this our mat set out so we can have our class. And then a question was asked to me. I was giving class, and Dr. Fakir Mohan was sitting there. He's such a humble soul. Always just talking about Krishna. And I was asked a question about Chota Haridas. How, you know, Lord Chaitanya just rejected him. And I was about to answer, but Dr. Fakamo somehow, he's very humble. For me even to sit and give the class. And then he wanted to answer, and then he was answering, and you know, he's such a scholar, he was explaining, and he was quoting this verse. He was also explaining how Lord Chaitanya was giving mercy to Chota Haridas, but that's not the point here. Because Chota Haridas begged rice from one of his most intimate associates, who was a woman. And Chota Haridas was a renunciate. So it quoted this verse that, you know, it's like poison to associate with the opposite sex or those associated with the opposite sex. And he said when he first came to the mutt, for 12 years he just stayed in the mutt. He never saw the opposite sex practically. He said after reading that verse, but then he also told the story, and this was very, very moving. He said that he came to that place where we were doing it 50 years ago, and it was a leper colony. A leper colony of Vaishnavas lived in that coconut grove. It's very deep and dense and dark. Lived in that coconut grove. And he began to tell the story why he went there. He said that years before that, Bhakti Siddhanta showed compassion among one leper and made that leper a devotee. And that leper converted other devotees. And from that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had two leper colonies of devotees. And he would come visit them and preach them. Anyway, so this bhakti, it's all sangha. And one should neither see such an object or a scene or listen or talk or indulge in comment or visit a place or read about these things or see such a or eat, smell. You have to entertain thoughts. They may create in our mind an intense desire to dwell upon these objects. Then the commentary I have has 10 objects. That are causes for the origin or growth of good or bad sentiments in man. And of course, we can't avoid them all, but we always strive to have the best environment possible. Obviously, one is the locality, just where you are. And therefore, we still make our choice. We may live in the middle of New York City, but we may make endeavors to be in the company of devotees. Locality, the food and the water, and the literature, our worship, so many things. But if these things are sattvic, then it's conducive. And associating them can constitute satsang. And if they're rajasic or tamasic, associating with them is a satsang. So here it just recommends that bad company, one should be a little bit careful. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, how did you manage to come on the Sangha today?
I'll email you how Krishna did that for me. It was amazing.
Okay, because it's Ayani's birthday, isn't it?
I know, but he arranged, because he knew my desire, he arranged for the first time in history my stove, which has a locking feature. It simply would not unlock for anything, and for that reason the whole cooking process was delayed. I couldn't get my food out, and so the delay enabled me to stay on the Sangha. This is the first time that ever happened.
Good. Okay, what's your question?
I just wanted to know if you could just repeat the point you were making about when you were saying that you're making the connection between Radharani and devotional service.
It actually comes. I don't have it right here now. But it was a point I heard from Satchinandana Swami that, you know, Krishna responds to the intimacy of his love. Anyone does. And according to the relationship, you feel more and more of yourself. So Krishna is most fully manifest in relationship to Srimati Radharani, which is one reason why Jagannath is considered the highest manifestation of God or of Krishna. Because it's the mood of Krishna and his most intense love for Radharani, which is the mood of separation, which causes bodily transformations. So,
okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaraja Devidasi.
Hare Krishna. So I'll finalize with you soon about that program, okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Govind Bhaktadas.
Oh, okay. You and your wife will come to your home. It'll be really nice. We'll invite the devotees. I'll let you know the details soon. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end for now. Okay. Vanchikalpa to the Dishaka to Sindhu Deva Chapatikam.